Hi, I'm Sakai from Yates Radio, and today we're going to be interviewing Miss Albion.
When did you become a teacher?
I became a teacher 15 years ago.
How old were you?
I don't recall how old I was 15 years ago. A lot younger. But what was really fun about my first year of teaching, my first year I taught fifth grade, when my son was also a fifth grader. So I was able to teach fifth grade and have a fifth grader at home where we could share what he was learning and I could borrow some of what his teacher was teaching. So it was fun.
When did I become a reading teacher?
Well, I've always really liked the focus of literacy, and it's just something that I have kind of studied more on my own until 4 years ago. I became what's called a nationally board certified teacher, and I did that in early childhood literacy. So 4 years with a concentration in reading.
Is it fun being a reading teacher?
My job is more of an interventionist, again, with a focus on reading. And so what makes my job really fun is that I wear many hats during the day. So I can be a co-teacher where I'm supporting classroom teachers, and I can be a pull-out teacher helping kids who need support with extra reading. So it's fun because I get to do a lot of different things as part of my job.
Wear different hats. That sounds like something we're talking about in poetry. Figurative language. Boise goes, what does that mean she wears different hats? Like she puts on a chef hat and then a top hat. What's she talking about?
Like she changes what she does.
Oh, so kind of like you change hats, she changes what she does. Got it.
Like maybe how since you are a parent, there's like a parent hat, there's a teacher hat. There's different kinds of hats.
Yeah, so during the day, I wear a first grade math hat, and I wear a student council hat, student council leader hat, and I wear a push-in third, fourth grade teacher hat, and I wear a pull-out fourth grade phonics group hat. So my hat changes based on the role. Sometimes I am a data hat, and I put a lot of information in the computer. So it's different all day long. So that's some of the examples of the different hats I wear.
Does anybody here wear different hats? Like you have different roles or jobs depending on where you are? Think about it for a minute. Takai, what are some of your different hats that you wear?
So a lot of times around family, so I'll be different in front of my friends, but like in front of my cousins, like if you're a baby, I have to act different to help them.
Oh, so you're a helper with a baby. And then when your family is like a big girl, what do you wear when you're at school?
I wear my student hat.
A student. A friend hat. I like that. Now, are you on student council?
Yes.
So you're a leader hat also. That's like six hats that
She's
we just thought of.
Leader of a club.
Wow. Anybody else wear different hats? Dakota, what are your hats?
My crazy hat.
Yep, crazy hat.
My calm hat.
Calm hat. That's our favorite.
My being weird hat.
Yep, that's every day. Okay. Your jeans, and then your pajamas hat, sweatpants hat. Yeah, a lot of different hats. If only we could remember that jeans song.
You mean
sweatpants song, yeah. Eli, you wear different hats?
I have this kind of hat. It's for the snow. It's like a ninja hat.
Right.
It's kind of like a ninja hat. It goes over your face.
You know Eli's different hats? All right, Judith. It's always good to get some insight on
Eli. I used to have a puppy hat.
Crazy hat, yeah.
Crazy hat. Funny
hat, yeah.
Sometimes not.
Yeah.
I don't have an annoying
Everything
hat.
Sister would say that, wouldn't they, Judith?
Right.
Well, you don't know. Where did you go to college?
Where did I go to college? I went to three different colleges. I started out in a small college in my hometown. And I got a 2-year degree. And as part of that time, I went and I lived in England for 6 months, which I was very excited to do. And then I came here to Albany, and I went to SUNY Albany, I got a political science degree. And I worked in the state legislature before I became a teacher. And then I went to St. Rose where I got my teaching degree.
Is it hard being a teacher sometimes?
It's, what I think is hard is the amount of energy that you have to keep up with to, have to be a really good teacher. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of time. Last night I was so tired. I've been fighting a cold, and I really was very good about taking care of myself. I had some nice tea and some nice hot soup, and I took a little nap, and I revitalized, and I'm here again today. And I could have and should have been home, but I love being a teacher, and I love coming here. So sometimes it's hard because it takes a lot of energy, but I've been really trying to take care of myself this year so that I don't always feel sick.
What was it like in England?
England was awesome. I actually followed my mom's footsteps because when I was a little girl, she went to the same community college and she went to England. And I always looked up to her and what an awesome trip I thought it was. And so I wanted to do it like she did it. And so when I lived there, I did this work study program. Very interesting. And I lived with a woman who was a lawyer. And in England, they're called solicitors if you do, like, contract law, paper law. And you're a barrister if you do court law. You're in the courtroom in front of a judge, and they wear wigs. Well, she was probably 95% disabled. And I lived with her and two other German girls, and we took turns caring for her. And in exchange, I worked in her law firm. So it was a work-study program. So it was kind of hard because I had to learn how to adjust to a disabled person's lifestyle. But I met some awesome people. The two women I lived with were German, from Germany, and they were just so creative, so talented, so kind and wonderful. And we did a lot of traveling together. So it was also challenging, but very, very fascinating as well. So I loved living there. And I went back 3 more times to Europe.
What was fun about college?
What was fun about college? What was fun about college? When I came to SUNY Albany, Mrs. Albion is what you would call an activist. an activist is where, when you believe in an issue that affects people in our community, you start to get people interested and involved in that issue, and the more people you have working around an issue, the more change you can make. And so I became involved with an organization called NYPIRG, New York Public Interest Research Group. And NYPIRG brought in a speaker from the United Farm Workers Union. And the speaker was a famous Mexican-American that we learn about today in books. And his name was Cesar Chavez. And Cesar Chavez came to our campus, and I started working for his union. And I started working around the issue of protecting farm workers from pesticides when they were working in fields. And you guys, in fifth grade, learned about Cesar Chavez with your Pam Munoz Ryan unit.
I was at fourth.
Maybe a little in fourth. In fourth, you're talking about child labor.
Oh, yeah.
And in the child labor unit, you're learning that sometimes kids work on farms and they put poison in the plants to kill the bugs, but sometimes those poisons go into the...
humans.
Yeah. And those are the pesticides that people are trying to say, stop using these. The workers are getting poisoned too. And so to bring a change like that, you need people that can go and fight and say, this is why we need to stop this.
We did about child labor, and we sent notes to, like, Walmart and a Hershey place.
Wow.
Awesome.
I got my
awesome.
Letter
awesome, you see, so you're making change.
So you girls are activists yourself.
Yeah, I got a letter back.
I remember last
What was your issue? What were you trying to say that they should stop doing?
I was trying to tell them to stop doing that. They're getting hurt.
People are getting hurt that work
and
there?
They're getting, the people that tell the kids to do work, they're getting more money than the kids do.
Not paying good wages.
Even sometimes the parents have to work with their children.
Big, yeah, these are big issues. Nice work, girls.
Awesome. I love that connection. I hope you guys carry it in. And I, two of you, three of you are student leaders now, and that's where your activism starts. You care about something enough where you want to make a difference. And we had an awesome conversation yesterday about talking about some bad things kids did in the school and what they can do to fix it. And it was the student council leaders who came up with kind of a community service, restorative practices for fixing what they did wrong. So I talked to Mrs. Shippey, and she is happy to have the kids come in and help them recreate the artwork that they destroyed. And that was student council who made that decision.
Are you going to be at the sing-along?
I am.
Are you going to be singing along?
Would you like to know that?
Yeah.
Our teachers are in it. They're going to be, 10 of the kids in our class are going to be in it too.
I'm going to be a dove, and that was the closest one to a peace dove.
Oh, yeah.
So I chose the dove.
It's possible that I'm a goose. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I'm goose.
So you're the golden egg.
Oh, yeah.
I might be laying some eggs.
Have your little eggs.
Laying some eggs.
Because the kids.
Yeah. What kind of hobbies do you enjoy the most?
So Mrs. Alhan, most of you know, is a beekeeper. And so that's a hobby that... Yes, and that's a hobby that I really like to do because, again, it goes back to my environmental activism. Supporting our environment with the food that we eat needs to be pollinated by our bees that are dying because of pesticides. So I have bees to help pollinate and to restore the bee population.
Wait, so if we don't have bees and pollinators, we're not going to have any food? This sounds important.
Bees, it's a pretty scary thing.
They have, I forgot what it's called.
We'll learn about it this year in our plants unit lab.
That was scary.
But that's kind of my summer hobby. I like to do in the winter when I can't get outside as much. I like to restore old furniture. So I do it's called chalk painting. So I'll layer different colors and then sand it so it kind of looks antique and shabby chic. And I do a lot of that indoors during the winter.
Have you done any yet?
I've done lots. I can share it with you. I have pictures, but I don't have my phone. Oh, I do have my phone. I can show you some of the things that I did. But it won't be seen on the
We'll check
camera.
It out after we're done. Yeah. Dakota, what are your hobbies?
But I will show you.
My tablet.
Tablet, yeah. Takai, what are your hobbies?
Watching TV.
TV time, yeah, relaxing. Eli, what are your hobbies? What do you like to do when you have extra time at home?
What are hobbies?
Things that you like to do when you have extra time at home.
Sometimes play with my toys.
Yep, toys.
Awesome. What Julia? Toys do you like to play with?
Fire trucks.
You struck me as a Lego guy. Do you like Legos?
I like building.
Yeah.
My favorite thing.
You can see that. Judith, what do you do when you're home alone? Mm-hmm. You got time on your hands.
She uses her MP3 player.
You listen to some music. That's a good one. Anything else?
Games, too.
Games.
Radio.
Judith, I love music, too.
What kind of music?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking to me? I try to learn to play the guitar. I'm not really good, but I do play it. And so I find I like country, not country, but more like classic rock. And
country.
You're not a country girl?
I'm not a real country girl either. I solo artists who sing with guitar, so.
Hey, real quick, Carla, what are your hobbies? We didn't get your answer.
Sleeping.
Sleeping. You're the bear that's hibernating?
Right, hibernating.
Hibernates all day.
I have a guitar. I'm learning how to play. I'm getting really good at it.
Oh, wow.
You should bring it in to play. We could play it right on the radio. It would be your first concert ever.
Can I bring my instrument?
Maybe we could do a song together.
Yeah.
We did a jingle last year.
We'll make a
jingle.
What's
jingle
it?
Bell. Oh, I have a jingle bell.
You know who else plays the guitar really well?
Mr. Flanders.
Mr. Flanders.
What other jobs have you had than a teacher?
I worked in politics and government. I worked in the state legislature, and that was going along with my path of you know, trying to make change, and I thought that I could make change through the law. But I found myself pushing papers all day long, and I found it incredibly boring.
Wait, pushing papers, that's more figurative language.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're pushing papers, it doesn't really mean you're just pushing papers all around. It means you're just doing a whole lot of paperwork, and is anything really changing?
Figurative language is that you have to figure out what the word is.
And
it says language, because it's a different kind of language that you have to figure it out.
Kind of, yeah.
So, Kyla, this is really interesting. So, when I was working in state government, and we would have the lobbyists, the people who would come and talk about their issue that they were really passionate about, kind of like child labor laws that you guys had written letters about, they would write letters to their elected leaders. And those letters would come into the office, and I would be the one responsible for writing a reply to them. What laws were the legislators were trying to change that supported their concern. And so I found that people who worked with children and healthcare workers were the best advocates for their issue. And so I decided I didn't want to work in government, that I wanted to work with kids. And that's when I made my change to teaching. That's why I made my change.
What's your favorite holiday?
I would have to say Thanksgiving.
I like Thanksgiving too.
Yeah. Why do you like Thanksgiving?
Because that's when my family comes over, all my family.
It's nice for
everybody gets.
I like holidays.
Also,
on
Christmas.
On Christmas, my family, my sister, Judith, my other families get together all around.
Yeah.
I like Christmas too because I get to see what my family's faces look like. Open the present I gave them.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
that
you
nice.
Have Christmas and Thanksgiving.
That's why it's called Thanksgiving.
When I was a kid, I would say Christmas too, but now as an adult, I really like I like the
Christmas.
Meaning of Thanksgiving.
Because it's to thank people.
Because it you think.
To be grateful for many things. You know, not just for people, but what we have that we can really be happy for in our lives. It's easy to be sad.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite ice cream flavor?
My favorite ice cream? I am the only one in my family who likes ice cream with nuts.
Ooh,
and so
yeah.
I don't know what it is. And everybody's like, ew.
That
really
like
ice cream with nuts.
Wait,
so.
You like pistachio? No, butter pecan.
Which one?
I prefer butter pecan is my favorite.
That's me, my mom.
I like chocolate.
Oh,
like
really? Oh, we have a lot in common, Kyla.
I
want
to try.
What's your favorite color?
Well, we had a warm-up last time with that one, and my favorite color changes based on my mood. So, like, on a gloomy day like this, my favorite color is yellow because it makes me feel bright and cheery. On a really bright and cheery day, I think I like blue because it makes me feel cool and calm. So my favorite color changes just based on how I'm feeling.
What's yours, Dakota?
Blue.
Remember when Kyla was guessing everyone's and she like got them all right?
Yeah, except for mine.
Yeah, except for yours. Kai, what's yours?
I have more than one.
Yeah,
give
and
they're
comment.
Really specific.
Give me your top two.
Mint green and midnight blue.
Nice.
I would say my mood color.
Blue, red, black, and very dark, dark gray.
And all of them.
So you like all colors.
Me?
Favorite, what do you think?
Red.
No, turquoise.
No, turquoise.
That's mine is purple.
Purple. Okay, what are we wondering?
What?
What's your favorite song?
My favorite song.
Let's see.
Let me see.
It could be from a movie.
My favorite song. I guess, you know, anything that has a good positive message. So I'm thinking of a song.
Everything's
gonna be alright.
Every time I like most
flashing, like
I think I remember that song.
You like watching?
What's your favorite Christmas carol?
My favorite Christmas carol.
Oh, yes.
Oh, goodness. Does anybody watch The Voice?
Yeah.
Did you see the Brooke sing that Christmas carol the night before last?
No. Yeah. I never saw that.
Yeah. I don't remember the name of it, but it was beautiful. Can I get back to you on that one?
Yeah.
Let's see if I can figure it out.
What was I gonna...
Did you watch it?
Yeah, but I was going to ask you.
Oh.
Can you tell us about your job?
Can I tell you about my job? I do a lot of different things in the building, and I really enjoy my job because I get to work with so many other teachers, and I really love that about my job. So I get to see all the fantastic things that teachers are doing, and I didn't get to do that when I was in my own classroom. So I work with a lot of teachers, and that's, I think, probably the biggest part of my job that I really enjoy as well.
Do you ever get angry at student council, like the members sometimes?
Do I get angry at student council members? Never.
Student council, is it hard?
Like yesterday, because there was an issue going on, I was feeling like I really wanted to solve this issue, and then I had immediately run upstairs to come to student council after being in a class. So I went from one thing to the next, right after the next, and I never ate lunch yesterday, and I was so hungry, and I had been feeling sick. So that can be hard, Dakota.
Is this your song, Miss Ellen?
It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. And long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul fell.
That's from The Voice.
Oh, she was
from crazy. The finale. It's called O Holy Night, and it was uploaded one day ago.
Oh, let me see her.
Thank you for finding that. Because if you imagine hearing that in the church, with big, tall cathedral ceilings, and it's just echoing through, I love listening to Christmas music in a church. I just think it's so beautiful.
About the other song you said you liked, Mr. Flanders, when last year when I went to go do the announcements, he would sing that every time.
He would. It's a good song. It has a nice message, right?
Is it hard to struggle being a student council member? You're going to other people's classes teaching. Is it hard to struggle those?
Some days it is, yes.
Wearing all those hats, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, come back to those hats.
But that's what we have this thing this year. We're working on our self-care plans, where teachers really think about what they need to take care of themselves so that we have the strength to do all that work we do.
Oh, like Workout Wednesday. Like that's what I'm saying, because then the workout clothes.
So having my tea last night and taking a little nap helped me to kind of rejuvenate because I was really tired when I got home. So,
weren't you eating during the meeting?
I ate my sandwich really fast.
And you were eating grapes.
It wasn't enough food for me. Mm-hmm. I was hoping to grab something, but I had that sandwich, that peanut butter sandwich, which was squished by my orange.
Oh, no.
As a backup in case I didn't get out, and I was glad that I had the backup because it's not enough. I usually have like a half a sandwich with maybe some chips or maybe a salad with chicken or, you know, I like to try to have something that's going to nourish me.
Maybe. Like candy? Like, is that nourishing?
Gosh, no.
No. What about chips?
I get these flaxseed chips.
Yeah. They're health chips.
Yes. They're healthy chips.
Yeah.
Chips that I made with hummus. Excuse me.
So that's your favorite chip?
And so the hummus has garlic.
Yeah.
Garlic.
Keeps away the vampires. Yep.
Would you say that was your favorite
chips? Are some chips healthy? Some chips are healthier than others.
Like
potatoes
come with potatoes.
Yeah. No, they're
made of chips. Are not healthy. What's your favorite? My favorite is Cheetos. I like hot flaming Cheetos.
I
get the baked ones when I'm breaking down because they're a little better. But, oh goodness! I know Mrs. Alvin is a little different.
Can you tell us about the mindful moments?
The mindful moments. I love doing the mindful moments because I, as part of the stuff I do to take care of myself, I like to try to actually meditate. Because during my yoga. And yoga is full body stretching. And it's really great for your body. It just keeps me fit and strong. And part of that is listening to your breath. And so I've been able to take my yoga work into my mindful moment, my mindful practice work. And it has made me feel so much better this year. So I really try when I walk around the building all day long when kids are really having a hard time. I'll take my hand and I'll just put it on their shoulder and I'll ask them if they want to breathe. And I'll do it in a nice, calm, and gentle manner. And they always respond. And they always want to breathe with me. So there was a friend today who was just flying off the wall. He was so angry. And he was yelling from the basement all the way up the stairwell. And I just happened to bump into him on the stairs. I'm like, you need to breathe, friend. And he didn't want to, but when I just put my hand on his shoulder like that, there's something about it that calms you. And he stopped and he listened and we were breathing together. And then I asked him if he was calm enough to go back and talk to his teacher to solve his problem. And he said yes. And it really made a difference. And that's what I love about it. I see kids using it and it's making a difference. So we're able to take mindful moments from the morning and carry them into our school day. And I think kids are doing that around the building too, and that's what I love too.
What made you think of the mindful moments?
It wasn't just me. It was our building. Everybody, all of the teachers are seeing that if we give kids some time, like adults take for themselves, to kind of center themselves and just check in by taking a moment to quiet and notice how you're breathing and notice what might be worrying you or thinking about what you have to do next and, you know, setting a goal for how you can do that successfully. If we kind of work that into our teaching, we can help more kids be successful. So we're teaching them a mature way to deal with their feelings when they're really struggling with something. And but to also let them know that we're here to help them with that.
Is that why the teachers decided to take off the other part of the Pledge of Allegiance so we can add mindful moments into it? So
like we shortened some of the morning, the Yates Magnet School Pledge isn't there anymore, is it?
Who came up with that idea?
We could make it our
Yates pledges.
I think it just, as a faculty, we talked about it. We had a conversation about it, and we decided that if you think about the Yates School Pledge, we were just saying it, but we weren't really thinking about the words behind it anymore because we were so used to it. And so it became meaningless to us. And so we kind of turned it into something that we thought would bring more meaning into your life that would support you during the day. But as student council leaders, if you feel strong about that, we can have that conversation and maybe bring that to Mr. Flanders, who could kind of be the judge of an issue that you might like to talk to him about further, or that decision to stop doing the Yates School Pledge.
Can we make like the school pledge like a little bit more longer, like we do the rest of it?
Which school pledge do you mean, buddy?
I mean, like, I forgot what it's
called. The mindful moment?
No, we just the Yates.
Yeah.
We could do it, too, with the mindful moments.
You want to bring it back and do it with the mindful moment.
Yeah, so it could be more longer, and then we could relax more better.
Right, more relaxing. He likes relaxing.
Yes, yes. Do you do it every day when I do it over the loudspeaker?
What?
The mindful moment?
I sit down.
Do you have a favorite one?
When we breathe?
Yes. Like today we had our tongue on the top of our...
Like this.
The roof of our mouth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't.
I like when we imagine that we're holding something.
I like when we close our eyes and breathe.
A lot of people like that one.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like when you put something on your... The teacher that was putting something
on like your
stomach
doing
and you go like this.
I breathe. I like that part.
Or like hold our stomachs like this.
Yeah. I like to feel my breath. Sometimes I have kids put their hand on their heart to feel how fast their heart is beating, because when their heart is really pounding, that's when they need a mindful moment. And they don't even know it because they're just racing. It's called fight or flight. And when somebody is flighting because they're just so
angry
or possessed about whatever is really bothering them, they're not even paying attention and their heart rate is pounding and their breath is going up and down, And that was with a friend today. He needed to just take a moment to breathe and to think about how he was going to solve the issue that was really bothering him. And he did a really good job with it. And student council members, we've been talking about how we can help and support friends when you notice they need a mindful moment. So have you guys had a situation where you've helped somebody through breathing? Can you tell us about it?
So sometimes my friend will get mad, and she'll get really mad and nothing can control her, but I'll come over to her, and I can calm her down.
That's awesome.
Perfect.
And I can get her to breathe, and she'll get happy again because I can make her smile.
That's great.
That's what my friends do to me. Like, they try to make me smile, too. Like, and that's when I smile. Like, when I feel sad, there's always someone to help.
Yeah, like, she'll be mad at her desk, and I'll just say something really funny.
Mostly Kyla.
Oh, that's nice.
You don't.
You just said it with the mindful moments. Like, when you said a kid just ran down, do you want to skip that question?
Is there any other strategies when kids aren't listening?
That's a tough one. I tell kids, Eli, I'll stand in the front of the class and I'll show them that I'm ready to begin. And I'm modeling that I'm looking for them to show me that they're ready to begin. So when I am completely ready to go, when they see that, they tend to stop. Or I'll just say, I'll wait.
Yeah.
But then I also have Skittles.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a jingle bell.
Kids love Skittles. So I'll give Skittles to friends who are doing the right thing.
That's what you did last year.
And then all of a sudden,
everything goes.
And Skittles. And
I'm going to give you Skittles.
Side story.
Have you ever been on the radio or TV?
I've been interviewed on TV by reporters just with some of my activism work. So I was interviewed in college when I was talking about the visitor, Cesar Chavez, and I met Jesse Jackson, another prominent civil rights leader.
What TV show was it?
It's just local news.
Oh.
Is it on anymore?
No, I wasn't on a TV show. I was just interviewed. I was asked questions being a part of, like, a rally or a march.
Do you remember, like, when was it?
That was in 1985 when I was interviewed for the news when Cesar Chavez came to our campus, our college campus.
Do you think how long was it ago when you worked for Cesar Sanchez?
Cesar Chavez.
Chavez.
It was my first job out of college, so I was 23 years old. So, you know, it was about 25 years ago.
Do you think that anything, like how you were before, changed now? Like you're a different person now than you were before?
I think working in Schenectady City Schools, yes, I love that question, has changed me. I think it has changed me to be more accepting and more aware of the needs of our community. And I find myself always looking for ways to support people because so many of us, I think we have good lives, but I think we also have difficult things in our lives. And I like to really help people through their difficulties. And that's why I do student council, and that's why I do mindful moments. And so, yeah, it has changed me to be more empathetic, to have empathy for others. I don't know.
Did someone help you before? Like when you're stressed or anything?
Somebody helped me? Well, you know why I went into teaching? Because when I was a kid, it was pretty tough. My life wasn't easy. And it was my teachers. There were a couple of teachers that I still remember till this day when I was really little who were truly amazing people who were there to show me that there was something valuable in me And they believed in me, and they supported me. And it was those teachers that I remember till this day that makes me be the teacher that I am today.
So you better not forget us. That's what she said.
You're awesome.
Do you remember some of their names?
One's name was, her name was Mrs. Vanderbilt.
And
so those were your friends from college?
She was my second grade teacher, and I'll never forget her. But then there was a woman who was my college professor, and she was instrumental in me becoming a teacher. And she was the one who I traveled through Europe with a second time. And I just kind of discovered the beauty in the world and the adventure in the world. And she was there for me.
So you basically were following her steps.
Again, and that's what I think is so important, is that when we find role models in our lives that really show us a good direction, that if we can model ourselves after their kindness and after what they gave to us, then I feel like I'm giving back. And so that goes back to your question of, do I love what I do? Yes, because I feel like I'm giving back. And that, to me, is the most important thing about what I've learned as a teacher.
Yeah, you'll feel better.
You do. You really do.
Like that you just, it's like you've just changed all of a sudden.
Yeah. It takes a long time, but.
If you could change anything about this school, what would it be?
If I could change, it would be that every student treat each other kindly. That there is no mean words spoken, no hands being thrown, or voices yelling, or things being broken. If we could all just treat each other kindly, that would be the one thing I wish we could change.
How did you get involved with student council?
We're back to student council. I just believe in the process of a group of people making decisions together to think about how we can change things, like our government sort of does.
Like the morning announcements, maybe.
Yeah.
We're hearing some voices today.
Like what?
They love that school pledge.
I know.
We keep hearing kids say they want the Yates school pledge to come back.
Oh, yeah.
When you first got here, was it scary to be a teacher?
When she first became a teacher?
Yeah.
I was never scared.
Nervous?
Maybe, just to be a good teacher. The first couple of days, but it's like riding a bike. Once you know how to do it, you just do it. And so
I couldn't.
You never had those like nightmares your first year teaching.
Oh, gosh.
I need a pedal and wheels to ride a bike.
Every year before the first day of school, you would always dream you missed the bus.
Yes.
Or you couldn't find your shoes when you had to leave. Or yes, I've had those kind of fears.
The first day of school, on fifth grade, I had a dream that I lost my outfit, and I actually really did. I couldn't find it, so I was late.
Yeah, it's the things that you fear are the things that come out in your dreams sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, some dreams come to life.
What do you like about student council?
I like giving kids a voice in our school. And kids who can be actively involved in doing things that also make a difference for the better. That's what I like about it.
Thank you for joining us, Miss Allie, and for Yates Radio.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Let's give her a jingle. One, two, three.
YatesRadio.com.